The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on Raghavendra on September 21st, 1996 in Wiesbaden, Germany. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 7, Verse 18 and 19.
Eternal devotees of her potencies are all eternal associates in the pastimes of the Lord. Only with them does the Lord advent to propound the Sankirtan movement. Only with them does the Lord taste the mellow of conjugal love. And only with them does He distribute this love of God to people in general. Purport. Distinguishing between pure devotees and internal or confidential devotees, Sri Rupa Goswami in his book Upadeshamrita traces the following gradual process of development. Out of many thousands of karmis, one is better when he is situated in perfect Vedic knowledge. Out of many such learned scholars and philosophers, one who is actually liberated from material bondage is better. And out of many such persons who are actually liberated, one who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered the best. Among the many such transcendental lovers of Godhead, the gopis are the best. And among the gopis, Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radhika is the best. Srimati Radhika is very dear to Lord Krishna, and similarly her parents, namely Shyamakunda and Radhakunda, are also very much dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in his Anubhashya that among the five tattvas, two are energies, Shakti Tattva, and the three others are energetic, Shakti Man Tattva. Unalloyed and eternal devotees are both engaged in the favorable culture of Krishna consciousness, untinged by philosophical speculation or furtive activities. So in the theology or the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which is very vast, there's five principal tattvas, which are worshipped sometimes as the pancha tattva. They're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person. Then He has His original expansion. And then He has His incarnation into the material world on the one side. On the other side, then He has His supreme energy, His spiritual energy, and then has the individual spiritual potency, our pure devotee. This is even that sounds too complicated. Let me further simplify. Just like you have the sun, and along with the sun, you have the sunlight. So can you conceive of a sun without sunlight? What would be the meaning of sun without sunlight? So along with the Lord, there is His energies. And without the energy, the Lord is not complete. So the Lord and His energy together are the complete whole. Actually, originally there is Krishna and He manifests His energy. So He has three types of energy. He has His spiritual potency, which is outside of the material world. Then He has the material potency, which we see here all around us, this whole material world. And then in between the material and spiritual potency, there's a marginal potency, which is a living entity. That's what we are. We are very small by nature, spiritually, And if we are not under Krishna's spiritual potency's shelter, then automatically we become under the control of the external or material energy. In the Upanishad, this is the energies are described as Parashashaktir-Vividaiva-Suyate. The Lord has various kinds of spiritual potencies. Now the material energy is also a kind of, is also, for the Lord it's a spiritual potency. But the material energy has a different function. Her function is to keep the souls in the material, under her control who are desirous of forgetting about Krishna. Those who want to maintain an independent existence from God, or had desired that in the past, she creates an illusion of independence. Actually, we can never be independent from God or Krishna because we are all part of Krishna. Everything is part of Krishna. Just like, how can the sunlight be independent from the sun? The Lord, why does He create His energy? It's for pleasure. Why do parents have children? They want to enjoy having children, whatever the happiness of the family life is, or variety is called the spice of life. So the Lord, in order to create more and more transcendental circumstances of happiness, of enjoyment, He creates different types of energies. Now to be the king, if you have no subject, just like if somebody walks in and says, I am the king. And you say, you're king of what? I'm the king. Alright, Mr. King. Who are your subjects, you know? How many people are you the king of? I'm not the king of anybody, I'm just the king. You know? So nobody will take it very serious. And if you're the king of thousands of people or millions of people, well then it has some value. So to be the Supreme Lord, if you have no one that you're the Lord of, what is the meaning? So the Lord creates so many different kinds of, doesn't really create. When we create something, create it, and then it gets destroyed. It's not recommended spikes inside of flowers. Better to use sellotape. If somebody gets spiked, sooner or later, by the needle. Say, this is something that's created, it was brought into existence, at some time it will be decomposed and cease to exist in this form. In that sense, nobody is created. We always exist. It's beyond time. It's not that at some given time we are created and then at some time we cease to exist. But the Lord, beyond time, time is a thing of the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no time factor. He manifested so many different energies. Some are very powerful energies, who are not different from Him, except that they're His energy and He is the Lord. Otherwise, they're both equal, but their relationship is different. And He has very small energies, which we are, for serving Him. Why we're small is because we only know a little bit. We don't know everything. We can never know everything that Krishna can know. Just like a small child cannot know everything that the parent knows until, of course, a small child can grow and then know. But as a child, it cannot know. We can never become God. We are always a part of the Lord. Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva loke sanatuno. That the jiva, the living entity, are my part and parcel, and they are eternal. So eternally we are part of Krishna. Now, so we know that there's different energies of the Lord. There's the spiritual energy, the material energy, and then we are also a very minute energy. But what is the Radharani's position in all of this? Is actually Radharani is the supreme energy. But her specific function is to give pleasure to Krishna. Just like in the material world, if a man, in the material world, men, they like to, they enjoy the company of a beautiful woman, and they have some desire to enjoy a loving relationship with a woman. So men and women, they like this relationship. Because in the Vedanta Sutra, it's explained that anything that's in this world exists because it originally comes from God, from the Absolute Truth. Janma-adasya-gataha. But not that what we see here is exactly the same thing that's in God, but it's a reflection. Not exactly the same. In fact, not apart from appearance, there's a big difference. But so when the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, what he wants to enjoy, he also wants to, he was the first, not that we come after that, and he wants to enjoy. So he, from himself, he expands. From one, he becomes two. Krishna is not a material man, and Radharani is not a material woman. They're nothing to do with material, actually. Although the form may look like a material man or a material woman, we are imitation or copies. But our existence in the material world and these bodies are completely different. That's another very big topic, but it's completely different. The Krishna is not material, and neither Radharani is material. Therefore, they're not really like a material man or woman. But material men and women look like Krishna and Radha, because we're made in the image of the Supreme Person. So the Lord expands himself into his energy, and together they're having loving exchanges. Now Radharani, in order to serve Krishna better, she expands herself into many other energies. And she goes on expanding, and she expands all the living entities. We're all ultimately also expansion from Radharani. We're all meant originally to serve Krishna. That's our eternal nature. But Krishna, in order for there to be any happiness, the service has to be loving. And love, by definition, is voluntary. Right? If some crazy man comes, you know, you read about crazy people all the time coming with machine guns and mowing people down, and say some crazy person comes into some assembly and says, "All right, I want all of you to love me or I'll shoot you," right? You can fear you. "I want all you to fear me." Okay, that you can say. But by fear, you can't get people to love you, isn't it? Love has to be something voluntary, something without any motive. Simply has to be a very pure sentiment. You want to serve the person, you appreciate the person, you love the person. So that is the relationship that exists in the spiritual world, is love. It's called prema, or bhakti. And in order to achieve that, in Krishna, he gives his energies free will. All of us have free will, because that's the very nature of our existence. We have been given that free will. But when we're given free will, that means we have the right to use it or misuse it. Now if we, so the vast majority of living entities are right now in a loving relationship with Krishna. But a very small fraction of the living entities have somehow or another decided to experiment what it's like not to love Krishna, or to try to have some separate existence. And that's what position we are in the material world. This is kind of like a prison house. Very luxurious prison house that has various levels of existence. And the Lord, of course, he likes to try to liberate people from this prison house. The whole reason of the material world's existence is in order to give the living entities who opted for some independent existence to eventually, through their own experience, to come around and decide that actually I love Krishna, I want to serve Krishna, I want to go back to Krishna. I don't want to stay here. Krishna is very eager to take us back. It's not that he wants us to be here. Many times you read people saying, "Why is there so much suffering? You see, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita how he creates the material world. He said, although I create the material world, although I am the material world is my expense, is also my energy, is not separate from me, at the same time, I am not part of it. I am not within it. He says, although I am the Lord of all living entities, and although nothing happens without my permission, at the same time, see my mystic opulence that everything is going on without my direct intervention. The Krishna creates the mechanism, how things will go, by creating a law of karma, giving everybody equal playing field. If you do good to others, you get good karma. If you do cause pain to others or your own body, then you have to suffer all the whole law of karma. So now, in the Kali Yuga, people reap a lot of bad karma because they're doing a lot of bad karma. They're causing suffering to others. They're killing animals. They're ruining their nature. So they have to take their karma for that. So they have to suffer the reactions. So Krishna doesn't like this. He doesn't like to see people suffer. But when you give people free will and you give them, okay, this is the laws, if you act in this way, you can be happy. You act in this way, you suffer. So then when people are misbehaving, they're suffering. So what you do in that circumstance? So he comes himself and he tries to convince people to follow the right path so they don't have to suffer. He sends his representative as gurus, prophets, and so on to give systems of religion so people can avoid the suffering. Because he knows the laws of nature that he's created, and if we go against these, we're forced to suffer. So he doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us all to be happy. And ultimately, the real happiness is to leave the material world and be with him eternally. So, there are many processes of yoga or processes of self-realization. But ultimately, the one where we are attracted to the spiritual happiness, that is a very positive one. And most of the great seekers in the past, they were attracted by this spiritual happiness. Even Lord Buddha, he renounced, what was the Buddha's name before? Siddhartha. He renounced everything as Prince Siddhartha and he went looking for a spiritual happiness. He was not happy in spite of having so many young princesses and arrangements, that he wasn't feeling happiness. He wanted spiritual knowledge and spiritual happiness. So he went to meditate. Bharat Maharaj, another great emperor of India, he left the entire kingdom and went to the forest to seek spiritual happiness. Like that, throughout the ages, people have gone looking for the spiritual happiness. So my dear devotees, you know who that spiritual happiness is that everyone is looking for? That is Srimati Radharani. She is the original form. Does it work at all? Hare Krishna. She is the form, the personality of the spiritual happiness. She is the source of all spiritual happiness. And she is the embodiment of pure love for Krishna. She has got all kinds of wonderful qualities. Everyone is looking for that spiritual happiness. So today we're worshipping Radharani, trying to understand something about her. Because she is the supreme energy of the Lord. Sometimes there's a picture, you see Radha and Krishna, and they're literally like one leg is Krishna's and one is Radha's. Integrated form. Prabhupada liked that form, because actually Radha and Krishna, although separate, are one and inseparable. But for the sake of expanding this pastime, they have become one. Now, since Krishna is the Supreme Lord and he has got many energies, so other energies are doing other things. He has existential energy who are maintaining the universes for him. He has got the conscious energy which gives knowledge, acquiring consciousness to the living entities. These are called Sat Chit Ananda. Krishna is known as Sachid Ananda Vigraha. His form is eternal, blissful knowledge. So the Ananda, or blissful part, is Radharani. It is the supreme of the energies. Other energies are also doing their functional activities to keep everything going. So Radharani doesn't deal with that functioning, but simply with the direct service of the Lord, and everyone is serving the Lord, so that's why everyone is coming from her, but others are taking care of the functioning of things. So Radharani's focus is simply on Krishna. How to make Krishna happy. And in Krishna reciprocates, he wants to make Radharani happy. He said, if we can please Radharani, then automatically Krishna will be very pleased with us. And if Radharani said, please bless this devotee, then Krishna will easily bless us without any doubt. I mentioned today that about Radhakund. Radhakund is a very special holy place because it's the kunda of Radharani, and it's considered to be not different from Radharani. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, there was a demon called Arishtasura who came and attacked Krishna. Arishtasura was a demon in the form of, you know what form it was? Form of a bull. Arishta is Sanskrit for bull. So this demon was a human, type who changed his form to a big bull. And as a bull was charging Krishna, trying to kill him, like the bullfights in Spain and other places. But here, this was a gigantic bull coming and trying to kill Krishna and his friends. When Krishna came in this world 5,000 years ago, there was a king at that time who was a tyrant and who was allied with various type of evil forces, magicians and sorcerers and demons and things. And he requested them to find Krishna and kill him because he heard Krishna would be the cause of his death. So throughout Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, he was being harassed by different demons who come and try to kill him. So Krishna can never be killed. But when he comes in this world, he acts like one of us to some extent. Although he does miraculous things that we cannot do, like he lifting up a mountain with one finger for 7 days and things like that. Like going out of the universe to other planets and things. So, but when Krishna was in Vrindavan acting like a cowherd boy, then these demons would come and attack him, and then he would reciprocate. Krishna says, however you approach me, I will reciprocate with you. If you approach me in devotion and faith, then I'll put my trust in you and I'll give you my love. If you approach me to kill me, then I'll reciprocate with you and I'll kill you. However we approach Krishna, he'll reciprocate. So, it's recommended we should approach Krishna with devotion, and then he'll take us under his protection and bring us back to him. But there are some who they don't want to do that. So this Arishtasura was one of them, and he tried to kill Krishna. So finally Krishna, he killed the Arishtasura. When Krishna kills a demon, then the atma, the soul, leaves the body of the demon and enters into the body of Krishna and gets moksha or liberation. So when the Supreme Lord, anyone, if we leave our body and thinking of God, then we go back to God. So the demons, when they're killed by God, they're obviously thinking about Him, then they achieve God. But since they're demons, usually they achieve Him in the impersonal form. That's why I said those who want to get moksha and merge into the Lord, this is not a very exalted kind of, this is considered the lowest of all the forms of liberation. Because even the demons who are killed by Krishna, they get that liberation. But the devotees, they don't accept that form of liberation, even if Krishna offers. There's four other types of liberation. Living on the same planet of the Lord, Salokya, in the spiritual world, planets that are no birth, no creation, no destruction, eternally living. Salokya Sarupya, having the same kind of spiritual form as the Lord. Sharshti, having the opulences of the Lord, mystic powers and so many mystic opulences. And Samipya, to be close to the Lord. These four devotees accept for the service of the Lord. They can accept. But the merging, Sayujya, that moksha they don't accept, that form of liberation. To become one with the Lord and lose your individual existence. So anyway, this Avishtasura was killed by Krishna and liberated. So Radharani and her gopis in Vrindavan, they have a very intricate relationship with Krishna. They know that Krishna is happy when they joke with him and say that when Krishna came back, Radharani said, "Don't come near me. I don't want to talk with you. Don't come near me." So why? Because you have just killed a cow. You killed a bull. This is gohatya. This is a very great sin. So because you killed a bull, which is a male cow, that you have committed a great sin, that means now you are contaminated. So you had to go to so many holy places, like Indra, when he killed a Brahman or a cow, he had to do tapasya, he had to do penances and get purified, and then only he could, you see, be free from the sin. So you had to do some bathing and for and get purified from the sin. Otherwise, how we can talk to a sinful person? You just killed a cow. The Krishna, you know, he said, "Why I have to go to the holy places? If I want, all the holy places will come here." And so Krishna just said, "Holy places, come here." So from all over the universe, all the holy places came and assembled there. All the holy rivers, all the Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, all the sacred places. By bathing in these places, you get... This is all like a play between Krishna and Radha, because how Ganga is purified by touching the feet of Vishnu. And who is Krishna but Vishnu? So for him there is no sin actually. But like this they're having fun with each other. So since Krishna is playing the part of a human, so he's saying, "Okay, you want me to get purified? Take a bath. So all holy rivers, you come here." And then he dug up, in that indentation where Avishtasura and Krishna had been fighting, back and forth, Krishna grabbed him by the horns, was pushing, they dug an indentation. It became like a lake bed. So then he dug that, there was a little further dug, and he put all those holy waters there. And then Krishna bathed and came out, "Okay, now I'm pure. Now you can talk with me." The Radharani, then she became the wife. Krishna has got the kunda. Then Krishna said, "You should come now, you can also bathe, you can use my lake, I have here my own personal lake, now you can bathe." And Radha said, no, I want to have my own lake, then I'm going to offer you, you can bathe in my lake." He said, "But I already have all the holy rivers in my lake." And then Radharani said, "Told all the gopis, I want you to immediately dig me a lake." So thousands and thousands of gopis came in there working with their bare hands and with somehow or another, within a very short time, with just a few moments, they dug out a huge lake bed, but it's empty, just the hole was there in the ground. Krishna was amazed. How they, all the ladies, they all got together, all the gopis, they just dug out this massive excavation, because they're all spiritual potencies. So then, then Krishna said, "Well, I can put the water from my lake into yours." He said, no, I don't want your water. I'll send my gopis to other planets all over the universe. We'll bring Ganga from the higher planets. We'll bring various, we'll carry and fill this lake." So it's like, "I want to do something more special than you, for your pleasure." Then Krishna motioned, the representative of the holy places came and surrendered to Radharani and pleaded, "My God, you are the supreme energy. Without your pleasure, there's no way we can ever achieve success in our life. You are the original goddess of fortune, and we are all simply meant for your service. So we don't feel complete if we are not allowed to be in your lake. We want to be in your lake and to serve you. Please don't deprive us of this opportunity to serve you. So because they pleaded like that, and Radharani looked to Lalita, and then she said, all right. Because they pleaded, so then when they had permission, then between Shyamkund and Radhakund, there was a small piece of land that got cut, and there became a connection. And all the holy waters came into Radhakund. And then Radharani invited Krishna to bathe in her kunda. So that Radhakunda is considered the most holy of all the holy places. And Krishna would regularly come. Sometimes they bathe in Shyamkund, but usually they bathe in Radhakund. So like this, there are so many different pastimes of the Lord. Now Radharani is worshipped on this day of Radhastami. She appeared 15 days. Is it 1 year 15 days or 15 days younger than Krishna? Krishna was the previous Ashtami, and then after that comes Radhastami. Now when Radharani was born, she never opened her eyes. So the parents thought she was blind. So they thought, we're very unfortunate, we have a beautiful daughter, but she's born blind. Now when Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, in this world, he appeared actually and was carried to Vrindavan. Then Narada Muni came to see Krishna in Vrindavan and saw him there in the house of Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. Saw how the Supreme Lord has come as in a baby form. So then Narada Muni, he knew that whenever the Lord comes, he always comes with his supreme energy. So he was looking, where is the energy of the Lord? She must be here also. So he went and he looked in Barsana. And he looked throughout the different houses, and there he found in the King Vrishabhanu's house, there was a beautiful young baby. I never saw a baby so beautiful. Gold in color, like molten gold. Actually, she appeared from a lotus. So then, Narada Muni understood this must be the supreme energy who has come to serve Lord Krishna. So then he came and made a fellow. That was, he can fly and he was seeing. So now he came in the front door and he saw the King Vrishabhanu, and he received Narada Muni as a great spiritual master, a great guru, gave him a seat and said, what brings you here to my house? No, I've just come here to wish you well. And so we're so grateful for your coming, because when a spiritual master visits the home of a householder, this purifies the house, so on. So the way your children, I'll bless your children. So they had some older children they brought, and he blessed. Don't you have any young children? They said, oh, well, we have one baby girl, but she was born blind. Well, can I see that girl? So they came out with the golden baby and put in the lap of Narada Muni. When he was holding Radharani, he got so much spiritual happiness just by touching Radharani and looking at her. She was so beautiful that he became stunned. He couldn't move. Tears were coming from his eyes. His body was shaking. His heart was filled with love. He was so much overwhelmed with love for Krishna just by touching Radharani. For 45 minutes he was just motionless. Couldn't move, couldn't speak. His voice was choked. They didn't know what happened. So powerful, just the touch of Radharani. Then Narada Muni with a choked very much, a voice choked with emotion, he said, you don't know how fortunate you are. This daughter, she is going to bring you, you know, all kinds of, how great she is, you don't understand how fortunate you are to have her in your house. So when there was the occasion of Krishna's birth anniversary, that time Kirtida, the wife of King Vrishabhanu, brought Radha, his little baby, over to Krishna's house, to Mother Yasoda's house. And the babies were kept in the, while the outside they're getting everything ready to do the sacrifice and ceremonies and decorations and things going on. So they put the babies in one little nursery room while they're readying all the outside things. They do bathing and different things for the baby. So that time, Krishna was lying there and Radharani was some distance away lying there on their little, on their blanket, whatever. So then Krishna, he crawled over to Radharani as a baby. And then he walked, crawled right over to Radharani and put his face right in front of Radharani's face. At that time, Radharani, as soon as he could smell Krishna in front of her, she opened her eyes. When Krishna invited her, let's go down to the material world and show our pastimes to attract people to come back to the spiritual world. The idea of Krishna showing his pastime is to show people that the spiritual world is not a dull and dry place, but it's filled with variety and wonderful, loving, exciting activities. And that's actually where we'll be happy to be involved with Krishna in the spiritual world. So invites Radharani, let's come down into the material world and have our pastimes there. And she said, well, only I'll come down, the first person I'll see is you. I don't want to see anyone before I see you. So when she comes, she stays blind until Krishna comes in front of her, then she opens her eyes and gets her sight. So then they came and saw, our blind daughter has now got eyesight. Oh, Krishna must have some special power. Why is Krishna, even as a baby, he's just over Radharani, and now Radhika, and now she got her vision back before she was blind. It says, by observing Radhastami, observing the festival to Radharani, one gets very many blessings. This is worth more than 100,000 ekadasis to observe Radhastami. There's many glories mentioned in the Padma Purana and different Puranas about observation of worshipping Radharani and Radhastami. So you're already fortunate to be celebrating Radhastami, remembrance of Radharani. The way to please Radharani is actually to cultivate our devotion to Krishna. Actually, I'm very, very inspired also to hear that here in Visvadam, the devotees have decided to make a project, a temple in the future for Radha and Krishna and Mornitai, which is a very special offering for the pleasure. And in fact, I just heard about it. I have not seen anything, but I think that they have got some pictures they like to show. This is one of the special services we can do in this world, is to make a permanent facility for worshipping the Lord. Here it's already so crowded, the devotees are just barely fitting into their rooms. So to have a permanent facility will be a very nice service for Radharani and Krishna. Well, one other thing happened, is afterward, Narada Muni, he wanted to see Radha. So baby was one that wanted to see the supreme energy in her more fully as a young girl. So he was in the forest of Vrindavan there praying to her to reveal herself, and then although she was present before everyone as a baby, her along with her energies, the sakis, appeared to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni begged her for devotion. The Lord Krishna and pure devotion. So many times people, they don't understand when they see, sometimes you hear people say, oh, sometimes the Christian missionaries in India, they tell the people, why you worship Krishna? He's a thief. He steals butter. You see, where's the Supreme Lord owns everything? Where's the question of stealing for him anyway? But apart from that, just to give happiness to the neighbors, he goes and, plays around as a young child. He takes some butter and feeds to the monkeys. These monkeys are great sages who have taken birth as monkeys to get some butter from the hand of the Supreme Lord. This is not theft. These are child proclivities done just so that people have something to talk about Krishna and create some excitement in the whole with Krishna. In fact, even the devotees very affectionately refer to Krishna as Makkhana Chura. With a purified heart, we start to become attracted that something is very special above all these things. There's something very spiritual and very inner, satisfying to the heart. So as our attraction for Krishna grows, then it gives us, then Krishna is very pleased to take us back to serve Him eternally. That's His sublime program. But generally we are not pure enough to really appreciate the full glories of Krishna and Radha. So first we need to study about Krishna's potencies, to know how great Krishna is, how He creates the material world, how the whole universal form, all the energy, the nature is all coming from the Lord, then how He incarnates in different eras and different pastimes with different devotees. So we start to appreciate the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how He is our well-wisher, how He wants us to be liberated from the material bondage. And then finally, that form of Krishna is the most esoteric. This is the most confidential form. Prabhupada explains that Krishna has got His majestic form known as Narayana, and He has His original form known as Krishna. So just like when you go to see a judge in the High Court or Supreme Court, the judge sometimes, like in England, they wear the big white wig and things, in different places they wear different costumes or uniforms. But when they come into the court, people stand up, they say, "My Lord, Your Honor." There's some formalities. When the judge is in his seat, everyone has to respect him. So like that, when the Supreme Lord is in His majestic form as Narayana or Vishnu, then His very formal dealings are kept with Him. Fear, respect, majesty, all these kind of moods are very prominent in that, with that form of the Lord. But that's the form most people think of, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Powerful. But just like the judge, when he goes home at night, then he has, after work, he's got a wife and kids and brothers, friends, and plays golf with whatever, does whatever the things they do. He has so many different things they do. The wife may come and give him some lemonade or something. A child may sit on his lap. But in the court, the child can't sit on the lap. Or the grandchild can't sit on the lap. But in the house, they can. The Prabhupada explained that Golok Vrindavana, Vaikuntha is a majestic aspect, and Golok Vrindavana is informal aspect, where everything there is done on pure love. There is no awe, no reverence, no fear. It's complete just love. But to appreciate Krishna's loving pastimes, for us, from our position, it's harder. For first we don't understand who Krishna is. Then we can appreciate His greatness. That although He is the Lord of everything, He has this very personal, gentle, loving personality. And that is brought out. You see, Krishna without Radharani, you don't notice it. So it is not so easy to see. But when the pastime with Radha and Krishna, Radha brings out the best in Krishna. Because of her love for Krishna, everything becomes revealed. So I thank all of you for coming here on this occasion of Radhastami. I'm very happy to be here. Please, when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare is also a calling Radha, and Krishna is Krishna. So Hare Krishna is like saying Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. So Radharani is also there. So get the blessings of Radharani today and chant Hare Krishna. Very carefully your whole life. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Yes.
I'd like to put it that way, that Avishnashura is, we know as in Nishashura, and he was killed, but he was charged sometimes, and he just left for mercy, and he said, how can I be I can. He said that with Roshan and Tapasya, you meet a longer time, but you approach me and he is again. Then I shall kill you and you will be a sundar to me. Now, Maitreji, we see very examples like that, that people who oppose this, or they get killed and they get moksha sooner than with Roshan Lakshmi. Can you explain this?
It's not that it's recommended that if you want to get to the Lord sooner, you should oppose him.
No, I'm
explaining. Don't cut me in the middle. There are some cases like that where some like Jai Vijay, they were cursed. They were the gatekeepers of the spiritual world and they were cursed to come in the material world. So then they are given the choice. You could serve the Lord as a devotee for 7 births or you could come as a demon and be killed by the Lord in 3 different occasions. And then return back to the spiritual world to your service. So they wanted to get back to their position quicker. So they accepted 3 births as a demon rather than 7. Those are some very special, unique cases of people, as you say, who are cursed and they want to get back quicker. In other words, they are feeling so much separation from Krishna that the thought to be separated from him for more births is unbearable. They'd rather take a hellish birth, demon birth, and come back to Krishna quicker because of their love for Krishna. It seems like a contradiction, but that's because they're already in the spiritual vicinity and they want to go back there. Now, any way that someone is fully conscious about Krishna will lead one to Krishna. But if one is approaching Krishna in a favorable way, even if one is only partial conscious of Krishna, that partial consciousness will lead one to Krishna. But if one is envious about Krishna, that means he's thinking about Krishna but in a negative sense, the karma for the reaction for that is generally to go to hell and be punished. But if someone, even negatively, is completely absorbed in Krishna, like Kamsa, he would always think about Krishna, day, night, his dreams. He was thinking of Krishna all the time. So someone like that who is always thinking about Krishna, even if it was negative, because he was fully absorbed in Krishna, he also got purified. But the acharyas or great spiritual masters recommend that this is not the process we should follow. Because other kings who like occasionally were negative against Krishna, and other times they were just doing their material sense gratification. When they died, they went to hell and were punished. Only those who are fully absorbed in fear or hatred of Krishna, like Sisupal was envious of Krishna, and Kamsa was fearful of Krishna. Unless you're fully absorbed, the negative doesn't work. But even if you're partially absorbed, favorably, that works very effectively. So therefore, it's recommended we should worship the Lord in a favorable mood. But just to highlight how the remembrance of the Lord is all auspicious, that even those who get absorbed in the Lord negatively, they also get the blessing, because he's all auspicious. But as far as for the devotees, that's not the path we should follow, because that's not pleasing to the Lord. Or if we serve him favorably, that's pleasing. Paramatma? Yes?
As you have explained, Hare is internal energy of Krishna, or Radha. Then what does Hare Rama mean? Is it Radha Balaram or Sita Rama?
Rama has many meanings. Hare literally means the energy of. So when you say Hare Krishna, Krishna, energy of Krishna, energy of Krishna is Radha. Krishna, one of Krishna's name is also Rama, because he's known like Radha Raman. So from one point of view, Rama can also mean Krishna. But Rama also means Raghupati Rama. Then there would be Sita Rama. Rama also can mean Parshuram. Or Rama can be Balaram. With Balaram, there's Revati and Baruni. basically Rama is a name for the Supreme Lord, and Hare means addressing energy. So whether you consider Rama, the name, as one of Krishna's name, and Hare is addressing that, or as one of the other expansion of Krishna, is Rama, it brings a similar effect. In the Kali Yuga, it's recommended we chant the 16 name Hare Krishna, Hare Rama mantra. In the Kali Santana Upanishad, this will purify us from all the contamination of Kali Yuga. Iti Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Sodasakam Nam Nam Kali Kalmasha Nashanam Natapa Tupaya Sarva Vedesha Dishute. Throughout all the Vedas, this is confirmed. Whether you see in the Skanda Purana, also there it mentions to chant the names of Hari, the Brihadaranya Purana, Agni Purana, all the Puranas. Actually, the Puranas, Purana means in the Vedas they're called Itihasam Puranam Cha. That the Itihasa or the histories of the universe are given in the Puranas. Purana means history or ancient, old. When Max Müller from Germany, who was a Christian missionary, was sent to India to convert the Hindus, he found that the Brahmanas were giving him a hard time. So he wrote some letters back to a fellow priest in Germany, and he said that I'm going to learn Sanskrit, and I'm going to translate Sanskrit in such a way into German and English that I'll try to undermine the Brahmanas. Just like in English or Western language, an idol, according to Christian theology, is a false god. But in the Vedas, it says that you can establish a form of the Lord and worship that deity. And that deity is known as the Archa Vigraha, a worshipable deity of the Lord, a worshipable form. But Max Müller translated it as idol. The Puranas are given as ancient histories of the Lord and the universe. And the literal translation of Purana will be history. But in the Western dictionary, a myth is a kind of a folk story, which is an imagined thing, which is not verified, not very factual. It's kind of an imagined, or a mythology is not considered to be very reliable. It's considered a myth means, like almost like bordering on fiction, some tales without any real. But if you were to say that the stories in the Quran were a myth, then from Iran and other places you'd get a fatwa on you and you'd have to be hiding like Salman Rushdie. But this was translated by Max Müller. He translated Puranas as mythology. So what happened? All educated Hindus, this tradition has been there, that the Murti or Archa Vigraha is an idol, and that the Puranas are called mythologies. Now for them, they don't see anything wrong in that, because that's the way they were taught in school, that this is the right translation. But now that we know what is Sanskrit, what is English, we can see this is a horrible translation. This was, and even Max Müller wrote, his letters are now public domain, because now it is the hundreds of years before this happened. Now all those letters are revealed, and he said, this is my plot, this is my strategy. But it didn't work because people didn't know English. If you translate like that, they still in their mind, they're just thinking, worshipable deity, Purana. So that you give them the name, but for the only works on the people who know English. What is the idol? What is the mythology? But see, here in the West, if you call the Puranas as a mythology, people get the wrong idea. If you call the deity as idols, they get the wrong idea. A deity is not an idol. Idol is a bad word for the West. Mythology is a bad word. For the first time I was preaching in Canada to the Hindu our congregation, I didn't know all this, because now I'm living in India 26 years, I'm also an Indian citizen. So I know all these things now. But at that time I was angry. Why are they calling mythology? Now I understand it's not anybody's fault. There's a trick of the previous missionaries who tried to confuse the whole issue. But actually the words are not a good word in the West for our preaching. Mythology is a bad word. Prabhupada never used that word. He always used the word history. The Purana is a history. We don't take it as a myth. We take it as fact. All these things happened sometime in the past. And this has been recorded in the Vedas. They are true stories. Where a myth is like, maybe true, maybe not true. But we don't take it as a myth. It's true fact. That's our faith. You die for it.
One simple question.
Yes.
You said that when Radharani was born, she was very beautiful and very pretty, and she was riding like goat. But when it comes to Krishna, people use also very different colors. They say he's dark complexion and so on.
Yes.
Is there any reason for this? Why is it different to be?
Krishna is also beautiful.
Yeah.
He is called Shyama Sundara. Black is beautiful. Because Krishna is of course not the black we see in the material world, because he is effulgent. He is glowing in the dark even. But that's his original color. Like the color of a rain cloud. Bluish. Blackish is a similar, is what they say, closest thing we see in the material world. But that actually Krishna cannot be exactly compared with any material color. But that's the nearest thing that people could find to give some kind of reference point. In fact, Vishnu is also the similar color. Vishnu, Narayana, Krishna. Ramchandra is a green color, and Narasimhadev is white, or also golden. Other avatars are different color, but there's Krishna, that's his original color.
Hanuman is very Hanuman.
I'm waiting for Paramatma to come and take over the show. Now, one time there was, in America, there was Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and there was one Afro-American, and he was a very prized. So Krishna is black, and God is black. And then Prabhupada said, but not black like you. He's a transcendental blackish. You shouldn't think Krishna is a material, or even Radharani, although she say golden. Not that only golden is beautiful, all the colors are beautiful in the right, in the spiritual sense. But that's Radharani's color, she's a golden color. Since Krishna has originally this color, there's no question of why he has that color. It was always his color. And it was always Radharani's color. It's a striking contrast between the two. But the different gopis with Radharani, they're all different colors. And then Balaram, he's white, whitish. So there's, the Lord appears in multicolor, multi-forms. Even all the different species he appears. Paramatma, you here?
Yeah.
In Mayapur, we're constructing a city, spiritual city. And we have people from Germany and from America and from Africa and from Australia and from all over India and all over the world, Russia. We welcome devotees to come and help us build a spiritual city there. And we're building a Vedic planetarium. Srila Hariki Swami is our director for the development committee. He's also the GBC here in Germany. Sometime when there's more time, he can decide. I'd like to invite you also to come to Mayapur. I'm also here. I'm the Minister for Congregational Preaching. This afternoon, we gave a short seminar to the congregation and devotees of Heidelberg for expanding congregational preaching. Sachinandan Maharaj is helping as the regional coordinator for congregational preaching, and he asked me to come here. after the conference is over in Kul, then I'll be going, after the time is over in Ovento, I'll go to Kul, give a seminar there also. We also want to encourage everyone to expand the congregation of preaching. People should practice Krishna consciousness from their home. My secretary for this trip is Kunteya Das. He's also editor for the Congregational Preaching Journal, which he has brought some copies if anyone's interested in finding about his latest ideas about congregational preaching. He can tell you something about that, how to get this magazine.
Yeah, if anybody is interested, yep. Adarnish Jagrav Maharaj is also publishing this journal. I got three issues with me. One just came yesterday, the latest issue. So I'll be outside. If anybody is interested, can come and talk with me.
I think everybody can kind of move this side now so we can see what they're going to present. Some diyas on the new project of Vizbaru. This is being presented today to get the blessing of Radharani.